Hey, I'm Josh Hunt.
And I'm Jordan Bean.
And you are listening to Talking Chuck.
Don't fuck with the Chuck.
If anybody who listens, I guess, can't, because I mean, I know with Apple, I guess people can go on there and write reviews.
Yeah, leave us a review, guys. Like, it means a lot. We look at them. We've got a couple that I'm going to read right here, but we like, you know, like being told that what we're doing is cool, I guess. It's not a waste of time.
Or if anybody has any like questions or comments, or I don't know, maybe stuff, theories of theirs that maybe we missed, or, you know, just anything.
Exactly. Concerns of any.
Like, also, I'm on Instagram under You're Being Recorded Pod. So if anybody who listens don't know of a way to like write in, that's one way.
I don't have an Instagram, so I don't have anything to plug. But just write Josh and he'll tell me. And but I'm going to go ahead and read these reviews real quick. This one says, feel free to read this on the podcast. It's from Dogmaster and it's got some paw prints. It says, I love this podcast. I'm only partway through listening to your first episode and writing this, but I'm really enjoying it so far. I love Chucky and it's wonderful LGBTQ representative. I'm not a crazy gore person, but still can find joy in the show. I really hope that we get to see Jake deal with the loss of his abusive father and maybe even make a kill. I also obviously want Devin and Jake to get together. Keep up the great work. Bye. So, Dogmaster, I'm also an LGBTQ. I'm not like a representative, but like I support the LGBTQ community as well. So there's that. I wouldn't consider myself a crazy gore person either, but you know, and as far as like Jake dealing with the loss of his abusive father and like making a kill. Yeah, I feel like, you know, that's a thing, but I feel like to me, it just feels like that if you have an abusive father, especially like as much as Jake had, a part of me feels like that he's kind of like, he's mourning the fact that his dad's dead, but he's kind of a little relieved to an extent. Because he had a really shitty life as far as that goes. And I feel like Jake really didn't have much of a father. He just drank all the time and blamed him for everything. And then I don't think Jake's going to kill in this season. If he does, that kind of, to me, it almost tarnishes his character a little bit. Because I feel like Jake should hold back. Because I feel like that's going to be part of the reasoning behind of it is kind of like he's strong enough to pull back and not be like Chucky. The whole, like, the end of Colt, how that Nika kind of became Charles, to me, it overtook me as like, okay, well, Nika lost. And I don't want that for Jake. I don't want the same thing. But I do want Devin and Jake to get together too. That'd be pretty cool. I'm really into their whole relationship as well. And then we have... I'm going to read this one, and then Josh, I don't know if this has any – no, it doesn't have any questions or anything. This one just says, great show, blown away. You can read this on the podcast. It's from Berserk Eminem, and it says, series is amazing, and the show is exactly what I needed to theorize with some hardcore fans of the series. You can tell these guys know what they're talking about. Glad there is a podcast dedicated to this. Thank you, guys. Y'all rock.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for that.
And with this episode, we open up exactly where the last episode ended, when all the kids are now in the hospital from the fire, because I guess they didn't realize that the house was on fire and the smoke got to them. And Jake's going into the hospital to see the aftermath of what happened since he gave Chucky over to Lexi.
Yeah, you kind of get like also like this like look at like Oliver's parents kind of grieving over him and all that. And of course, you know, finding out that he had been stabbed to death by Chucky.
Yeah, that's one thing that he didn't realize that it happened, is Chucky killing Oliver, since he only wanted Chucky to kill Lexi.
Yeah, exactly. So like Jake, if you're put in that situation, I guess it's kind of crazy to think that, because the last, if you remember the last thing that, or conversation that Jake had with Oliver was actually kind of apologizing to him and trying to kind of like, just you know, try to be friends with him and stuff after they, you know, he had heard what happened to his dad. So
yeah, and so I mean, it's, see, I, you know, because at first I thought maybe that was all just sort of a joke, like them trying to get Jake to come over so they could pull a prank on him. But I guess seemed to be, at least from Oliver, to be genuine, him being apologizing to Jake. But then Jake starts talking to Lexi, and she realizes that, you know, Chucky is alive and that Jake had sent Chucky after her. And then she's just still being a real major cunt towards Jake.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's kind of like, at this point, she kind of confronts Jake and is just like, you know, like, Chucky's been after me. And then whenever she finds out that, like, Jake was the reason that Chucky was after her, she's kind of like, well, you know, sent this killer doll after me. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Like, why would you do that? I didn't do anything to you. Why?
Yeah. She's very like clueless to the whole situation, because in her eyes, she still sees it like it was like not a big deal. Like, I guess like dressing like someone's dead dad at a costume party and making fun of the fact that their dad died, or starting a GoFundMe for them being poor, in her eyes, isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, it's just a prank, bro. Middle school, get over it.
Yeah, you gotta take that shit serious, bro. It's just a prank, bro. You just gotta get over it, bro.
Yeah, like how you gonna handle high school, bro?
Yeah, bro. I mean, come on, man. This is middle school, bro. We're trying to get you like hyped up and ready for high school, bro. You never know what's going to happen in high school, bro. Pranks, bro.
But then Jake basically, or Lexi's pretty much like, oh, you freaking freak, and storms off to basically, I guess, go tell. And Jake's tells her, you know, you can't tell anybody, because anybody who's ever come in contact with Chucky and tried to tell is either ended up, you know, locked up or worse, mostly worse,
or dead eventually. But like, that make a good point. Like, Chucky's like the only horror, you know, character, I guess. You know, I guess it would be really weird to kind of like say like, oh, this doll's like going around killing people. Like, nobody's gonna believe it. Like, nobody believed it back then, and nobody's gonna believe it today.
Yeah, even though it's, you know, 2021 and you got to be woke and stay un-me-too'd. But yeah, I mean, anybody who would try to go and say that, you know, this doll's running around, I mean, I, you know, who knows though? Because I mean, it seems like some people, you know, like Devin's mom might know more than she's let on to us so far.
Yeah, that whole thing with Devin's mom, I always kind of thought that maybe she's like knows more than what, you know, we think she does, because she just seems like so like into this investigation, and she kind of like always mentions like the Chucky doll and stuff like that. And then like in the trick or treat episode, which was the second episode, whenever Chucky, you know, whenever she was going back and like talking to her, and she was like, you know, it was good guy overalls, and it's just like, oh, like she was kind of like aware, like, oh, like the doll, like that's crazy. So she might know some shit that we don't know, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially because we're on episode 4, and so far they haven't really even gotten into like Chucky's master plan or what's going to be really going down. So who knows?
I'm still extremely curious to see Chucky's master plan, which, you know, it's just, to me, I feel like I don't know, man. I feel like we're saving all this up for like the end of the season, I guess, but I don't know what it's going to be. And to be honest, like, I can't even theorize what it could be at this point, because I just feel like it's just going to be something completely out of left field for us.
So, I mean, it seems definitely like that they're going to have some type of good surprise for us with whatever they have planned, just based off of all the directions they've been taking the series so far.
Yeah, exactly. Now, they do have a good homage in this. They pay homage to Halloween 2, I believe, for the hospital in this episode. I think that's what Don Mancini said, that he's paying homage to Halloween 2 because it takes place in a hospital. And like this whole episode takes place in a hospital, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, but it was like less boring than Halloween 2.
Yeah, I mean, Halloween 2 is, I like Halloween 2, but I can see where people could be like, you know, it's just a little, you know, boring and all that. But yeah, this whole episode takes place in the hospital. And it's the first time I think we've seen Chucky in a hospital, other than maybe in the first movie when he was in like the psychiatric hospital, I think.
Well then and also cult as well, technically.
Yeah, I don't know if I consider that like a, that's like a psychiatric, like that's more like a home, I feel like, for like mental patients. I mean, I guess it is a hospital, but I don't consider like Dr. Foley like a fucking doc. I mean, I know he's a doctor, but that's a crazy ass doctor. I mean, he doesn't seem professional at all.
He's the Jared of Subway of doctors.
In the words of Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story 1, I don't know how that guy ever passed medical school.
He obviously cheated. But also in this episode, as Jake's walking through the hospital just to sort of find out what all went down at the party and checking on seeing that, you know, everybody's basically okay other than Oliver. And then he sees Devin. And when he sees Devin, he's like really relieved that Devin's okay.
Yeah, you start kind of seeing that like little, you know, that relationship between Jake and Devin start to develop a little bit. Whenever he, of course, he sees Devin and he's like, just, you know, in awe that he's still alive. Like, he's very happy. And you kind of see it on Jake's face in that moment as well.
Yeah, and then Devin's mom comes in to check in on Devin and basically let him know that how Oliver actually died, because everybody thinks that he just died from the fire.
Yeah, exactly. We also get into Junior's mom and dad, or Jake's aunt and uncle, and then Lexi's parents, kind of going at it with each other in the waiting area about the party and about the fact that, like, you know, Lexi threw this party, and then they're kind of throwing Lexi under the bus, and then Lexi's parents are just throwing, you know, you'll be like, oh, let's not point fingers and stuff like that. And they're like, no, you left this party happen and you let your daughter do this, and now somebody's dead because of it. And then, of course, you know,
basically both sides of the parents are attacking each other for what they are actually doing. How Lexi's parents are, well, her dad is basically talking about how Logan is pressuring Junior to, you know, follow in his footsteps of being a runner. And then, you know, Junior's parents are hating on them for, you know, how they're neglectful parents, basically, and allowing Lexi to basically do whatever she wants.
Yeah, and Lexi's parents are on the defensive, even going as far as to kind of like talking to Devin's mom, who's the detective, accusing, you know, her son, Devin, possibly being somebody who would do something like this, because he's into those podcasts and the criminal stuff. And she even like makes the remark, like, what kid would be like that obsessed with criminal stuff? But then in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, his mom's a detective. So if my mom was a detective, I'm kind of in her, you know, that's like her line of work. Wouldn't you kind of be into stuff like that, maybe?
Yeah. So, I mean, that could definitely be one of the reasons he got interested in true crime. And also before that, before they started fighting, they started to dive a little more into Bree having her secret and how she was about to reveal, it seemed like, to Logan what it was. But then Lexi's parents came in.
Yeah. And then Logan's just going to town on this vending machine, like beating the shit out of this vending machine, which I looked at the, you know, the snack ingredients that were in that vending machine, and I would have been pissed, man. Some of that's like I saw a 100 grand bar, like a crunch bar, some generic chips. I'd be pissed off too if I went to the hospital and that's all that they had in the vending machine.
He's like, I need my power bar.
Screw that, man. Give me some like name brand chips. I want like some Lay's. I want some Fritos. I want some Cheetos.
Well, he's like, I got to stay fit for my running.
Yeah, he's definitely going for the Clif bars, the $4 Clif bars at the bottom of the vending machine.
One of the things, though, that they have, because with like character development, they haven't really gotten into like what the hell Junior's parents even do now.
We know they're rich and we know they stay home a lot. So I don't know what the fuck they do, because I feel like they're always in their mansion just chilling. So, because
I mean, the dad, like, they had never said what the dad does. I mean, I guess he was a runner. I don't know if he went pro.
No, I mean, I don't know if a pro runner could be. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if a pro runner would be pulling that kind of money with all the mansion and all that. I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
I mean, if you run Sonic fast. I mean, that could be also one of the things that ends up being something that ties into what's going on in the story, like how they got rich, maybe.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know.
But then Jake is sitting in the hospital, and then this ball just comes by and hits into his leg, and this woman pops up and grabs it. And we later see this woman, and she has a baby that's dressed up like Chucky.
Yeah, that was kind of like weird to me. I was like, obviously this woman's like important to something.
It's weird because throughout the hospital, there are several times where we see a point of view shot that's of presumably Chucky, especially because I believe they had him like breathing added in there every time it showed it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but I feel like whenever it shows like Junior like looking in the hallway, that looks to me like Chucky. It doesn't look like a kid.
I was theorizing that maybe it was that baby because how Chucky isn't even at the hospital at this point, unless there's another doll running around. But one thing I was thinking is maybe that baby is possessed.
Yeah, that would be like, that would be some fucking shit right there, man. If Chucky possessed the mom and the baby.
Because there is the scene where Junior, you know, he's like tripping. So that could always be, you know, he didn't really see Chucky and that he's just high off whatever they gave him there. But also towards the end, Lexi is standing in the room and we see like that same kind of like Chucky figure run by. But then later, like after that, we see the baby again. So I'm thinking possibly if this woman really has something to do within this whole what's going on, because we don't know who she is, but she popped up a couple times in this episode. So, I mean, that could totally be that she's definitely going to play a part in this and that possibly the baby is possessed and that maybe she has a Chucky wig inside her bag because she has a purse, or she either was just putting that on the baby and having it run around. So I have no idea.
Maybe it's like a distraction or something like that. Like there's a reason. That's not a coincidence that this kid's wearing like the same kind of like Chucky overalls and like kind of like the stripes and all that. That's not a coincidence. There's a reason behind this. And I'm wondering if like the red ball that kind of like that it shows, you know, going to Jake is maybe like a symbol for something, or maybe a clue or something like that. It just seems very coincidental to me. I feel like that this woman and this baby, like you said, will play a part later in the story.
Yeah. And then we have Devin basically starts talking to Jake and tells him that, you know, he's glad that, oh, at first he was bummed that he wasn't at the party, but then glad that he's okay, and kind of getting more into that relationship development. And then he warns Jake about, you know, watch out for his mom, because she basically has this kind of idea about Jake and have something to do with what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, like she said, anywhere that Jake goes, like, death follows. So that's just being a good mom. That's like putting the detective shit aside. I feel like she's just trying to put on her mom hat. But yeah, she's just concerned about it. And part of me wonders, like, if she knows Devin could be gay, or if she has her doubts, or maybe this is coming off as like a big surprise to her. And then like part of her is like thinking like, oh, I kind of don't want him to do that, or he doesn't know what he is, or, you know, kind of like going not to the extreme like Jake's dad, but kind of like a more laid back version, to where she's not maybe going to come out and completely say it, but like try to keep Devin from dating Jake, I guess. I don't know. We're getting close to him.
Yeah, that's always possible. And then Devin's mom is basically questioning Devin about Chucky still, you know, asking more questions about him, which dives more into the theory that she potentially knows something about the doll or Charles, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think she knows more than what she's being led on to. I feel like we're going to get more into that as the show develops.
And then at that point, Lexi pops up back up to Jake, and after she realizes that, you know, she can't just, you know, I mean, she can't go and just tell anybody about Chucky because nobody's going to believe her. So Jake's really the only one she can go to, and she's still kind of being snobby towards him. And they decide that, you know, they got to go back to her house to search for Chucky and kill him, because if they don't, he's just going to keep coming back for her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of, you know, to you know, Jake's credit, I guess, he at this point they think that, like, you know, oh, we have to make sure that this Chucky doll's dead. They don't know, like, we know that Chucky always comes back. He always comes back.
You can't keep a good guy down.
But yes, you just can't. But they think they don't even like, if you think about it, they probably don't even know about the whole. Well, he mentions the whole voodoo thing, I guess, with Jake. But like, I feel like they don't even know the whole lore of Chucky. So they just kind of think that, oh, well, it's just a doll. Well, yeah, he's just a doll, but there's so much more that goes into it. And this doll has been through literally like hell and back, and he always comes back. So if we know anything about Chucky, you know, and we know, I feel like we as an audience watching this, we know like Chucky ain't dead.
Yeah, he's never dead. And then when he is, he isn't.
He's dead for like a few years until they want to make another movie.
Yep. And they're just like, oh, let's say he sneezed last movie and some of his particles got over here. So his DNA's over here and we're cloning it now.
Or you could just do like the, you could just do the curse route and be like, don't even explain the fact that, and you know, see the Chucky got chopped up by Glenn. Just be like, fuck it. He's back now. Oh, how'd he get back? Nah, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. He's back. We're not going to explain it.
We're moving on. Just, you know, go with it. And then at this time, whenever Jake and Lexi are going to her house, that's when they cut back to like Junior in the hospital and his dad's kind of asking him, you know, oh, if he still wanted to run. And Junior is just kind of under pressure to where you can see he doesn't necessarily really want to do running as a career like his dad and follow in his footsteps, but he feels that pressure to do it because his dad wants him to. And so he tells him, yeah. And then his dad is hoping that by, you know, they're going to probably have to do surgery on Junior, but that so he'll be able to like go do the tournaments and stuff later, like in the month.
Yeah. Junior's dad's like, I know you just inhaled a house worth of straight gas, but you think you could run a 5K for me, buddy?
we need you on that Wheaties box next month, son.
Like the, these, you know, these shoes aren't going to break in themselves, Junior. You got to do it, man.
If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, exactly. Like I just bought you these new shoes. I swear to God, Junior, if you don't wear them to your next meet, I'm going to drop kick the shit out of you.
I'm going to go Sonic.
I'm going to wear your shoes. I'm going to drop kick you with them. I'm going to roadhouse your ass.
I'm going to go Sonic fast, Dad. But then that, you know, the nurses give Junior some kind of drug to like put him to sleep. And he's like tripping balls, it seems like. And this is one of the times we see the Chucky figure run by, which either means, you know, he's either just tripping and didn't actually really see Chucky, or he saw one of the doll, that there's another doll already running around at the hospital, or it's that baby.
Yeah, that would be some shit if it's that
which
baby.
Is just, maybe Chucky possessed the baby too. That way, no one, because if it, you know, depending on if Chucky's going to be like possessing all these dolls and the only way to get rid of them would be to kill them, basically. Nobody's going to kill a baby. But also, it's weird that if hopefully we get some more info about this later on, because that lady, it definitely seems like, is going to play a part. And she had the baby dressed up just like Chucky. And Chucky, the doll we've been following, isn't at the hospital at that point. So the only, I mean, if this lady's putting a wig on the baby and just having it run around, that's just fucking weird. Unless the baby's like possessed or something by like Glenn or Glinda, possibly. I don't know.
No, let's not just assume Glenn and Glinda are in everything, like every Chucky fan wants to assume. But like you said,
but also it could be Chucky too possessed in the baby. I mean, that's always a possibility, because no one would suspect that, as Chucky would say about, you know, when he was possessing Alice.
Yeah, that's true. But like you were just saying, like the doll that we are following, what doll do we think that we're following in this series? Do you think we're following one of the cult dolls? Do you think we're following like a brand new doll? Like what doll, what Chucky are we following in this series, do you think?
I have no idea. It could, I mean,
because it doesn't look like any of the cult dolls, and the cult dolls are a little rugged from, you know, the end of cult, whenever all that shit was going down. So, because the only two that made it out were the you know, drill Chucky without an arm. So we know it's not that one. It could be the main Chucky, but then his hand's fucked up. And it's not the severed Chucky head. So I guess this is intended to be a new doll, right?
I mean, that's, you know, that is possible, especially because they never really put a limit on how many dolls I guess he can possess, unless they do go into that in the, like, later on in here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was just wondering about that. I never even really thought about that. I was thinking, I assumed it was a new doll, but I was thinking in my head, like, is there any way I could connect the doll to maybe like one of the dolls from the last movie? And I was like, no, there's no fucking way.
I mean, they may not even get into that, but I mean, hopefully they do.
I thought you were going to say they might not even know. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I don't know. It's Chucky. Fuck it. Do you really need to know?
Like, it's a doll. It's Chucky.
Yeah, get over it. We don't need to give you so much background shit. All right. We already have enough stuff going on.
And then it cuts back to Lexi and Jake at her house. And she's basically just kind of continuing to go off on Jake about why he would do that to her. And, you know, pretty much making it seem like, you know, she didn't do shit to him and that she's all perfect and she didn't deserve any of that. And then Jake, you know, it's just kind of building up and up and up that, you know, he's getting sick and tired of listening to her, especially because she did. I mean, she probably didn't really deserve to die, but, you know, she's definitely a huge cunt.
There we go. That's the one for the episode. But yeah, like she, like Jake, you know, her and Jake keep having this this argument. And then he's just basically, she's like, why would you just want to kill somebody? And he's like, I don't want to just kill anybody. I wanted to fucking kill you. And then, of course, she slips and falls and just starts dangling over the edge of this staircase. And he just grabs her. And then we see, you know, from the shadows, burnt little toxic Avenger Chucky coming out of the shadows. It's Toxie.
Yeah, you know, revealing that at the end of the last episode, we see Chucky just standing in the fire laughing and revealing that this little son of a bitch just stood there for a good amount.
Yeah, he would rather just like, he's like so into it. He would rather just sit there and burn, but because he's so like maniacal and just so like crazy that he's like, I got to let all these laughs out. I'm so into it right now. I'd rather sit in this, you know, fucking room and burn, which makes me think like, I guess Lexi just ran out or something because she was in the room too. So I'm assuming she just ran out and Chucky's just sitting there laughing. So maybe she was just like, oh shit, he's laughing right now. That's the best time for me to leave. Deuces.
And then she took out and he's just still sitting there melting away.
Yeah. Well, half his face is melted. So I guess this is like the two-faced Chucky because that's what everybody, I guess, like online and stuff on Twitter and Reddit and all these Chucky fan pages are calling it the two-faced Chucky. So this is the beginning of Two-Face Chucky.
And to me, it kind of looked like they went with a look from the burnt Chucky from Child's Play 1 with a mix of the melted Chucky from Child's Play 2 at the end. And possibly the, you know, as they refer to him as the pizza face Chucky from 3 when his face gets cut off.
That's what I thought they were going for, was the pizza face Chucky from 3. Now that you mentioned Child's Play 1, I can kind of see that a little bit. Although I will say Child's Play 1, that's the scariest part of the whole movie. And that is terrifying, especially when you get that, like, I guess they used a little person in a suit. And you just see that shot of Chucky kind of breathing, kind of like a Jason breathing kind of thing, like Kane Hodder. And he just kind of like got the knife and you see him all melted and shit and just steaming. That part right there is like the scariest part of the movie. But getting back to what we were saying, I thought it was more of the pizza face from 3, but I didn't really even think about the first one so much.
To me, it just seemed like a mix of possibly a look of all three of those, just because with him being melted, that kind of looks like the melted doll wax crap all over him at the end of part 2.
If we're gonna like incorporate like past Chucky's or something, or just Chucky kind of redoing what he did in the past, I would love to see him kind of do like the knife arm Chucky like he did in Child's Play 2, like towards the end.
Yeah, or something like that ramped up. That would be really cool to see.
Or if he's like on the wheels like he was before and he just kind of like got like a little you know, like essentially like a wheelchair, I guess. He's just like rolling around.
Someone he's like, fuck you, and like kicks him into something. Ah.
You know what I'm gonna do, Jake? I'm gonna cut off your legs. Like, okay. We're getting a little too flashbacks for Child's Play 2 here. Okay, guys.
They start breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, Chucky just looks at the camera. Remember that movie? Anyways.
But then Jake's holding on to Lexi, and then Chucky comes out and is basically telling Jake to let go of her and that, you know, she deserves to die. But even if he did let go of her, I don't think that fall would kill her, because that seems like maybe like a 10-foot drop or something, probably, if that.
Yeah, if he let go, she might have like twisted her ankle, but I don't think I've had bigger falls than that. And I'm just like, my elbow, ow. But no, but like, I guess, I guess if she did fall, Chucky was going to kill her. You know what I mean? Like, so there is some kind of tension there, some kind of danger, but it wouldn't be from the fall, I don't think. It would be more for the fact that Chucky was at the end of that fall.
Well, the way they were making it, because Chucky's like egging him on, like, come on, just drop her, making it sound like it was going to kill her, because then Chucky's like, fuck it, I'll do it myself then by killing her.
Yeah, okay, so you just said that, okay. The name of this episode has to be Just Drop Her. It has to be. Like, that's just, it's a play on the episode. The episode's called Just Let Go. We're talking about it, and you said Just Drop Her. I think that is just classic for this podcast. We got to name this episode Just Drop Her.
That's going to be the name. But, I mean, the way Chucky was saying it did kind of seem like if he dropped her, it was supposed to insinuate that the fall would kill her.
That, or like, it was either that, or it was like, it was either that, or it was like maybe insinuating to him, like, that's Jake's way of saying, like, I will be put in this position. Like, him letting go of her is like basically saying, okay, I'm okay, I will kill somebody. I'm taking that leap. I'm taking them, I'm putting them in danger. And I think to them, it was more psychologically. For Jake, because obviously we just said, you know, we don't think the fall would actually kill her, but maybe like for Chucky, that's like, you know, his way of saying, like, you know, you letting go, just letting go, just letting it happen is like kind of like saying, like, just that one leap, that one thing that just turns you into a killer, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely possible. Because then Jake decides finally that he's not going to let go of Lexi. Because he's not like Chucky and he's not a killer. So then Chucky's like, fuck it, I'll do it myself, and runs up to get Lexi, which is, you know, when we see she's hanging, that if he was to drop her, that's like, Chucky's probably like 2.5 feet tall or so.
Yeah, he's probably like two and a half feet tall. I think my daughter might be a little bit taller than Chucky is, but you know.
So that might be for her like an 8-foot drop or something. I don't know. If that.
Yeah, it might not even be that, to be honest with you. But.
But then, you know, Chucky's like waving his knife trying to get at her, and Jake pulls her up, and at that point Lexi's like, oh, my hero.
Yeah, like he saves Lexi, and then the detective that we had saw that was scolding Junior's parents with Devin's mom comes in and basically saying, like, you guys aren't supposed to be in here. And they're like, oh, you're sorry. Lexi should have been like, it's my fucking house. But he's like, no, not, you know, he's like, this is going to be take several weeks to clean up or whatever. And says, is this your sister's doll? And she's like, yeah, we need to kill it, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm taking it because your sister wants it. And I guess just some detective just going to like go to somebody's house and take part of a crime scene, I guess. Like, shouldn't all that be evidence? But I guess not, because he grabs it and just like, all right. And then he takes them as well. He's like, get in the back of my cop car. And then they go to the hospital.
But that's just how foiled Lexi's sister is. She's like, I want Chucky now. And the cop's like, okay, I'll do it.
Even if the cop was like, that's like evidence. He's like, do you know who my mom is? She's the mayor. And she will make sure that you'll get fired. So you better go get me that Chucky doll.
And he's like, oh, shit. I guess I got it, boss. But in that scene, whenever the cop goes to pick up Chucky, there's a callback to Child's Play 1 in that scene. When he sees Chucky, he says, ugly fucking doll, if you ask me, which was a callback to the lady in the elevator when she sees Chucky and calls him ugly.
Yeah, I got like the ugly doll thing. And then also I was thinking about it like Bride, when he's like, rude fucking doll.
And then at the hospital, we see Devin is searching like good up for good guy dolls, And then it just shows on the screen all the different search history stuff. And they, one of the funny things is we see a shot of Tiffany, but they used a screenshot of her from Bride of Chucky whenever she's like,
yeah, which that doesn't make any sense to me because it's literally from the movie. So what are they implying, that like the movie was like a fucking like found footage or some shit?
Yeah, like when there are different movies I've seen that do that, and it's just kind of funny, like why they didn't just use a picture of, you know, like young Tiffany or just Jennifer Tilly at any point, because that would have worked. And then they also
they did the same thing with Nika too, like Nika's pictures like from Curse.
Yeah, literally of her when she's wrapped up in the straitjacket.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, that I noticed that too when I first watched it, and I was just kind of like, I'm just gonna let it pass because, you know, there's little things here and there, but I don't want to nitpick anything. But that was the thing where I was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, it's cool that, you know, they do that, like going back into the history of those characters. But I always find it funny whenever they use like screenshots from the actual film, because it doesn't make sense. And then we also get more into the backstory of Charles now as a teenager. And after his parents, well, after he murdered his mother and his dad was murdered, he basically bounced around to like foster homes.
Yeah. And he has like an obsession with Peter Pan for some reason, which is cool. He's reading a Peter Pan book with his friends who I guess are supposed to be like the Lost Boys.
Yeah. And him being Peter. And I guess that in a way, you know, Peter and the Lost Boys, sort of that lure could probably be tied into Chucky as well.
Plus, like, Peter kind of like, Peter never died. Chucky never dies. Peter is
or
kind
grows
of always,
old,
yeah,
basically.
He never grows old. Yeah, that's right. He never grows old. He always stays the same. And Chucky never grows old because he's always an adult. So that's kind of like a metaphor, I guess.
Yeah.
To an extent.
But I guess it seemed like whatever book of Peter Pan he was supposed to be reading to them, that it seemed like either that book's really messed up or he was just adding shit to it to make it twisted.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I don't really remember a lot of what he said. Was he saying some like grotesque stuff or what?
Yeah, he was pretty much talking about how, I guess, Peter had some kind of system for the Lost Boys, and that when they become adults, Peter would like kill them, kind of like Children of the Corn style, I guess.
Yeah, that's probably something he made up because I don't remember that in the Peter Pan book, unless that's just like some banned book or like some real Peter Pan type shit. I don't know.
It really seems like one of the new things they've added to Chucky in this series is him really wanting people, like, to turn as many people as he can into killers, like convert them.
Yeah, like that's kind of the mission that we've been on for pretty much cult, and then this TV show that Chucky, his intent now is like not even to get out of the doll. It's more to like turn people into killers, to join the cult. Ow.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially because, you know, the flashback of him talking to the kids and telling them the story of Peter and how it's all messed up. And then I guess he's trying to go to talk to the lady who's like the mother of the place, and he gets mud all over the floor, which pisses off the janitor guy. And the janitor guy like hits his shoes with his like dirty mop, and the shoes that they have young Charles wearing are like basically the same exact ones that Chucky actually wears.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I guess that he like, I guess Charles Lee Ray really lucked out with finding a doll with the same sneakers that he had when he was a kid. He probably saw him and was just like, ooh, I had these as a kid too.
Especially, I thought it was kind of funny in that scene, because when the janitor guy hits his shoes with the dirty mop, Charles says like, hey, those are my only pair, which I think is kind of funny considering those have been his only pair of shoes for like 33 years now.
Yeah, that's funny. But like, that was kind of an overacting to me. I feel like a lot of horror movies and stuff, they have the like kind of like overreaction to things. And that was like a little less believable to me, but I can see why it needed to happen. But I just felt like this janitor just goes from like 0 to 100. Either he has like the worst temper of all time, or it's just kind of like overreacting to things.
Yeah, it's like, that's your job for one. But I mean, also,
He's a kid. Like, he's going to make a mess. Can you give him fucking slack?
Yeah, I mean, even the janitor wasn't even that much of a dick to him, because, I mean, he hit him in the shoe once and was just like, oh, sorry.
Just but, the way he said it, too. He's like, sorry. But, like, I also noticed the home, the I guess the caretaker or whatever of the orphanage or whatever, the foster home. I believe it might be the same lady who played the lady with the garage sale in the first episode. Like, I just think they, like, made her look older. I'm pretty sure it's the same actress, because I saw her and she looked very familiar. And I was thinking in my head, is that the same one? And I was really thinking, I was like running it back in my head. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the same lady, or the actress who played the lady in the that had the garage sale that had Chucky in it in the first episode.
That could be possible, since they do reuse people. I'll have to go look back and see.
I could be wrong. I could be. But I think that they just kind of like made her look older and stuff. But like I said, I could be wrong. But and if I am wrong, feel free to let us know.
And well, she's not even in it all that much either, though.
Yeah, like it's one of those things, like unless you were really paying attention, you probably wouldn't even notice.
But then it cuts to Charles basically with the kids and like taking them on an adventure through the woods, where it shows the janitor guy is dead. And, you know, Charles, I guess, had slit his throat and cut off his hand. And I guess he like replaced it with a hook, some like Candyman shit, Captain Hook Candyman.
Yeah, I think it was more Captain Hook, but, you know, it could be Candyman. No, I'm scared. It's not Candyman. It's not. It's
Captain Hook. I know, but all it's both. It's the new age.
He didn't put the jacket on. He didn't put the fur jacket. That's what it was. And he didn't have fucking flies and bugs.
There might have been a bee around one of them.
Yeah, there might have been some.
He's like the semi-Candyman. Like,
there's maggots. There's maggots on the neck, so. You know, I'm just saying that's technically a bug. So we're just calling it now, guys. It's definitely Candyman. It's not Captain Hook, the whole Peter Pan thing, but just a bunch of bullshit earlier. It means nothing to the story. Don't even think about the Peter Pan, Captain Hook. It's not that. It's 100% confirmed Candyman. You heard it here first, guys.
That's the reboot. It ties in. Chucky is related.
Yeah, Jordan Peele's going to be in the next episode. It's just going to be, it's all going to come together, guys. It's all going to come together.
The next episode's about blinking with Jordan Peele.
Yeah, just random shit. Okay. But yeah, he shows in the body. Two of the kids run off and they're like, oh my God, I can't take this, which I wouldn't. I'll probably do the same. But then there's one kid that sticks around.
Yeah, and then Charles just tells him, says to them the same thing that the serial killer guy when he was a kid, about how he's got guts. And it just seemed, you know, more of that's something that Charles could like take this kid under his wing and mold him into being a killer just like him as well.
And then it has one of the most missed opportunities in this whole TV show, as it shows Charles laughing, like young Charles, and it fades kind of to where it has a good guy face. And I thought that was the most missed opportunity in the whole series. And I'll explain why. For one, it looked really stupid. And I love this show. Don't get me wrong. It looked dumb. For two, it should have been older Charles, maybe Charles from like, you know, the Child's Play 1 or something, like Brad Dourif Charles Lee Ray. I don't know why it would be like, he's like, it's kind of like he's like, he's like turning into the doll. Like, it was just weird for me. It threw me off. I didn't like that part of it. But I just wanted to say that, and then we can go back into the episode. But.
Yeah, it was weird that they did that, just because it looks a little goofy. But I mean, I guess it was just sort of like, this is what he's going to become.
Yeah, just like act like that doesn't exist. Forget about what that happened. And if you think in your mind that it might have been like the older Charles, like the Brad Dourif Charles, because that's what I like to envision. I believe like he didn't grow up to be a doll. I feel like he grew up to be a human who transferred himself to a doll.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just done like a faded shot more of Brad Dourif from the first film, like his face on the kid's face, to make it, you know, more of like that's who he's going to become.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for. But
well, that's what we got. And then later on, the cops, they didn't make it clear if, like, I guess the cops were looking for Charles or if they were just looking for a killer in general, because Charles looked like he was hiding out. And then he ends up, the kid that stayed and kind of seemed interested in the dead body, he said he was going to give him a gift, but he couldn't tell anybody about it. And then it reveals that it's the janitor guy's hand. And he has a tattoo of it, like a Captain Hook tattoo,
which I think might like be like a homage to maybe see the Chucky a little bit, with Chucky sending Glenn his own arm. Or I guess, yeah, I guess, well, who the hell, actually, now that I think about it, who sent Chucky his arm to Glenn? Are we implying that it might have been, I guess we're implying that it was Chucky, which doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it could have been, could have been Tiffany.
But Tiffany is like Jennifer Tilly. So he just, why would she send? It's like, as, I'm raising it's you a as birth, a kid, as, but here's your fucking gift.
It's a secret birthday hand. Gift.
Like, you know what? Secret birthday gift. I hope you had a good time, Glenn. Here's your dad's severed arm. Have a great day.
Chucky used his other arm to send his arm to Glenn.
But like Chucky's, I don't know, that movie. I'm not, we shouldn't even compare this part to that movie, because I don't know. I feel like that was homage to that, though. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, even though that ending is just kind of like one of those ones, I guess they didn't know what the hell how to end it, I guess.
Yeah, which they've probably been better off not doing that one part, but other, it's fine. That whole movie's kind of a mess, but it's okay. Getting back into the episode, the kid puts the hand underneath his bed, which I'm thinking in my head, that shit's going to stink. That thing's going to like rot under your bed, bro.
Yeah, there's no way, like, after at least a week or so, that people aren't going to be like, what the hell is like up in here? Something died.
Imagine like sleeping at night and then all of a sudden you just hear like something like crawling on you and you look down and it's that fucking hand. You're like, oh, some aisle hands type shit.
Secret surprise hands.
Yeah, you hear the hand just kind of like tapping on your, like under on your mattress underneath or whatever, and you're like, oh god, it's alive.
It's a pretty shitty gift my friend gave me.
No, like the orphanage or whatever has like a dog, and the dog gets under the bed and starts chewing on the hand. Like, oh my god, oh, demon dog. And then get rid of the dog now.
At least whenever, if anybody busts in, you're like, oh, where did that hand come from? The dog just brought it here. But then at that moment, after he stuffs it under the bed, the mom of the house comes in and tells him to get to bed, and then reveals that the little kid is Eddie Caputo.
Yeah, so Eddie Caputo, for people who don't know, which I'm assuming if you're listening to the podcast, you probably already know, but Eddie Caputo was Charles Lee Ray's accomplice in the first movie. So basically, whenever in the Toy Story, he even says, I'm going to get you. And I'm going to get Eddie, no matter what.
And then Eddie got God. And
he got God, man. That was the first kill, I believe, right?
Yeah.
He goes to his house. He basically fucks with his oven.
Technically makes him kill himself.
Yeah. Yeah, technically. It was a suicide. It wasn't a homicide. And then he just... Which, by the way, I love that part. He's like, Chucky. And he's like looking for him. And then it just shows the chair rocking. And I'm like, Chucky Dunn got the fuck out of there. But yeah, so that's Eddie Caputo, which it was revealed in this episode that, you know, they met at, I guess, the orphanage or whatever.
Which that was really cool, just because I wasn't expecting them to ever do something like that and like throw in a surprise like that, which when they did that, it kind of made me want to see a little more, at least a little bit more of them later on, whenever they like meet back up and start working together and just sort of kind of get like that idea of exactly how good of like partners they were, because the first film never went into it. And then after the first film, they never talk about him, just because he's one of those kind of pass by characters,
which they might like end up, you know, having go back or go more into that later on in the season. We don't know yet, but as of now, that's our only reference to Eddie Caputo since the first movie. So hopefully we'll be able to see him more here and there in flashbacks and stuff, but for right now, that's all we got.
And then it cuts back to the hospital when they were finally get there, and then Devin's mom stops to question Jake about everything.
Yeah, she's basically just going on and on about like just random detective shit, and like Jake's like, I've told you, you know, like, you know, did you blah 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 blah, and Jake's not giving any information out. He knows better than this shit. He knows he's not gonna fuss about like a killer doll because nobody's going to believe him, even though I still believe that the detective might know something about Chucky. So I don't know, who knows.
Definitely something about Chucky, just because, I mean, she's asked a lot about the doll for, you know, not to know at least something. But then at that point, as she's questioning Jake, her partner, you know, takes Chucky and puts him in Lexi's sister's hospital room.
Where... Yeah, and then he starts eating like all the snacks, which is kind of fucked up. He's like eating like all her shit. Like she's in there, like Caroline's like on a breathing machine or whatever. And he's in there like, isn't good brownies. And he's just like opening shit up. He's like, donuts. I'm going to have that. What is this? Oh, I want this one too. He's just eating all this shit. Because I guess earlier he was like trying to get to a vending machine and his like chocolate bar or something didn't come out. And then he looks at Chucky. He's like, let's just keep this between us. And of course, Chucky's just sitting there grinning at him like, you know, in good guy doll form. But probably thinking to his head like, yeah, you know, we're going to keep it between us when I kill your ass, you son of a bitch.
But, you're gonna get got, motherfucker.
Gonna get got, dude. Nobody steals a chocolate bar. Nobody.
Especially because he spilled that shit on Chucky. Nobody spills food on Chucky. Nobody.
Yeah, he like has like a donut and like the powder like gets on Chucky. Like those donuts are delicious too, man. Like, but Chucky should be like appreciative of like the fact that he's got that powder on his face so he can just lick it up and be like, this is good stuff.
But then at that point, Chucky's like had enough of this guy and ends up throwing like a scalpel into his back, paralyzing him.
Like puts a whole new meaning to the word stabbed in the back.
And then the guy falls and he lands right on it and it pushes it even further, which is, that was pretty messed up.
Yeah, what a fucking idiot. If you're getting stabbed in the back, you're like, oh, my back. Like, turn around, dude, and fall. Don't, like, I'd rather fall on my dick than get, like, stabbed in the back.
Yeah, paralyzing you even more. And the guy's just like, I can't feel my back. And then Chucky's like, that's because, and he's like, all, like, the way he's saying it's, like, all playful. Like, that's because I severed your spinal cord.
Yeah, like, Chucky's like, he, like, knows all about that shit. Like, I guess because, like, he was just in a mental asylum. He probably was taking notes the whole time he was there and, like, kind of, like, getting in all the records and, like, learning some doctrine type shit. That's what it was. The whole time in Cult of Chucky, Chucky had enough time going around there to get his doctrine. So he knows all his shit now.
One of the ideas for the title of this episode was Chucky Loves Hospitals, just because in this one he says it a bunch.
Yeah, I love hospitals.
Because he's like now he's Dr. Chucky now, but don't let him touch your balls because he's not really a doctor.
Yeah, do not let him touch your balls. Don't do it. Don't. Look at me. Don't do it.
He doesn't have a PhD.
Dr. Chucky, whatever. This is the first same guy that in the first movie just threw some shit on the guy's head and then like blasted that shit and like turned his fucking head into a tomato. Like, this is not the Chucky that I want if I'm going to the doctor's office. I'm like, you know, I got a cold. You know what you need? You need to just die. You know, you know what's really going to help you? If I cut your fucking head off.
Exactly.
You might feel a little prick. He likes to say that a lot.
That's one of his go-tos.
And he actually says it in this episode. He grabs like all these dirty ass needles, like these nasty herpy, gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis infested needles. Possibly. I mean, they might be. It could be all of the above. We don't know. But anyways, it's all these infested ass needles. And just stabs this guy, kind of like that. And he's like, oh, another cocktail, and just keeps stabbing him and just going to town on this poor guy. And this guy's just sitting there taking it because he can't move because his spine has been, you know, stabbed and all that shit. So Chucky's just going to town on this guy.
Yeah. And at least this time there's an excuse for the guy just laying there taking it because he literally can't move.
Exactly. And then Chucky's like, you know, since the moment I saw you, I couldn't stand you. Couldn't stand your fucking face, and just starts going to town on it.
What did you think about that kill?
That was good. I like that kill. That kill was better than Oliver kill. So right now, if I had to rank the kills, I would say I liked the maid kill the most. Yeah, I'd say the maid kill the most.
This one's probably the second favorite. And then Jake's dad's probably third, and then Oliver's fourth. For now, I feel like it could change a lot. I feel like Oliver's going to stay at the bottom because, like, it didn't look very believable to me. But this one's probably going to stay towards the top. We've got a couple more episodes for some more kills, but I really like this one. This one's, if it's not, it could be my favorite as it goes on. But as of right now, I still really like the maid kill. I really like that one.
Yeah, I would say that ranking would be like the exact same as that one as yours, just because Chucky's kind of having more fun with these kills, it seems like, especially when he's stabbing the guy with syringes, because, you know, that's a death that probably is going to take a while if you're just being stabbed.
Yeah, if we're going like on like which kill would I want the least, it would probably be this one.
Yeah. And then like the maid one so far, that was like the most kind of gruesomest, like more serious kind of kill out of all of them so far. So hopefully,
yeah, that one was like, that was quick but very painful.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully we get some more like that. They cut back to Devin's mom questioning Jake, like really pushing him, and he's kind of, it looks like basically he's about to fold under the pressure and reveal that, you know, because he's telling her that it's not what she thinks it is, and then she's like still pushing him. And it looks like he's seriously about to tell her that it's Chucky doing all the stuff. But at, right as he's about to talk to her and tell her, Chucky takes the cord out of the wall for Lexi's sister's machine. I guess a breathing machine, causing it to where she can't breathe and basically causing a distraction in the hospital. Because now everybody's focused on getting to her and finding out what's going on and how to fix it. And so everybody's...
Yeah, so Chucky like went fucking hardcore on that. He's like, you know what? I'm pulling the... Time to pull the fucking plug. He went from saying that to like a grown woman to a little kid pretty damn quick.
Yeah, showing that he just, he, I mean, when it comes down to it, he doesn't really give a damn. And that if it,
like, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
Look at me. I don't give a fuck. You could be a kid. You could be an adult. You could be 100. I don't care. I want to kill you and I want to enjoy it. I'm going to like doing it.
He doesn't discriminate like to all the people, because I'm sure. Like, did you hear about with
Chucky is woke? Chucky is woke.
Did you hear about the articles for Halloween Kills about how people are saying he's homophobic because he killed the gay couple?
Don't get me started on that, man. That's so silly. Like, Michael doesn't just Mike. You think Michael looks at somebody just like, oh, you're gay? Well, I'm going to kill you. No, he kills everyone. He's for the people. He kills everyone. If he did, being discriminated, he would discriminate if he didn't kill them.
Well, I'm saying that's how goofy people are. If people like legitimately, like, because I didn't even read that shit, just because that's so goofy that if people legitimately believe that shit, because in that movie, he kills everybody in that movie. He kills kids in the movie. He kills an interracial couple, everyone. So, I mean, if anybody, you know, so like if goofy ass people like that are coming at Chucky, he doesn't give a damn. He'll kill little kids. He'll cause distractions. He doesn't give a damn.
Yeah. Do people forget that like It Chapter 2, like a few years ago, like Pennywise kills a gay guy or whatever, like in the, like the beginning of the movie? Do people forget about that, or is it just me?
No, they just taste better.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, though. Like, gay, straight, doesn't matter. A killer's a killer, man. They're going to kill regardless. That's the thing. Like, I don't see the whole thing with Halloween Kills, how people could just flip out because, you know, he goes after a gay couple. Like, just be like, they should be happy that, like, we're getting portrays of, like, gay people in movies now. Like, it's awesome. It feels like for the longest time, like, I mean, you weren't getting a lot of that, especially in the horror genre, with maybe the exception of like Nightmare 2, but you don't see that a whole lot, and you're starting to see it a lot more now. So just be thankful for it. But that's my rant on that.
Yeah, some people are just ridiculous, and I think just have to complain about anything just to be heard and the attention.
Yeah, so like Chucky's for the people. Chucky will kill whoever. So they all race in there, and they Devin, Jake and Lexi are all just kind of chilling in there, and then they see Chucky just, you know, looking at them and flipping them off, giving them the finger, man, like the bird. Giving them the bird.
Yeah, and there are other people kind of around, so he's just like, hey, fuck you guys.
be funny if the guy from like Bride of Chucky came through there and just like, rude fucking doll, man.
Or if they had some, like one of them said that, like, that's a rude fuck, like Devin's no. like, rude fucking doll.
Rude fucking doll. But only the kids see Chucky, and then we basically fade out, you know?
Yeah, that ends that episode.
So overall, how was this episode for you, Josh?
I really enjoyed it again, you know. A lot of it, you know, was like a homage to Halloween 2, and they've been doing, you know, these past four episodes paying a lot of homages to like horror films in general, especially the first two Halloween movies, and just how pretty much the entire episode does take place in the hospital. And they actually pulled it off really well, because it's a lot of interesting things going on and not boring stuff. And that we got to go a little further into the backstory of Charles a little bit more, which is always cool. And that more of it kind of seems now that one of the things, if they totally do it, I'm not going to be too cool with, is, you know, automatically giving Lexi a free pass to be a cool with everybody now, after how much of a cunt she's been this entire time, even though I get that's probably the direction they are going to go with it,
which is okay as long as they do it, because I kind of feel like that was like what they were intending to do. Like, I don't think she was going to be a shitty character the whole time. If anything, I feel like this whole thing, like having, like forcing her to team up with Jake to kind of stop all this, I feel like that's a better way of doing it than for her to just, you know, snap and be good all of a sudden. So it's okay. I don't mind it that much. Look, you know, I like this episode. I thought it was good. I liked, you know, the hospital. I like how they broke it up a little bit. We weren't in the hospital the whole time. We did get to go back to the crime scene for a little bit and deal with some Chucky. I like the way Chucky looked. It was new, it was different. We'd never seen him do that before. The animatronics on Chucky were kind of hit or miss for this episode, especially when he was stabbing the detective, which is fine. I get that it's a TV series. I liked Chucky's one-liners. Chucky still acted like Chucky. As far as character development goes, like we had mentioned, like Bree's secrets still on the back burner. We're still being reminded of that. They shoved it into this episode so we don't forget it. So we know that we're coming close to knowing Bree's secret. Overall, I thought it was a great episode. I liked it. I'll have to go back and rewatch the whole season, and then I could like kind of know like my ranking on the episodes. But I like this one. I don't know what I would rank my episodes yet. I know we ranked the kills, but I don't know how I would rank the episodes yet. But this is up there as like one of my favorites for the season.
Yeah, just with how they did on some of the character development, get to dive deeper into that, especially with like Jake and Devin and their relationship. And hopefully in the episodes to come, they're able to dive in deeper into character development as well. So that way we get more story of these characters.
Yeah, as they like advertise this, this is a coming of rage story. So this is, you know, and that's just kind of like a play on words, but this is still like, it's a Chucky TV series, but at the same time, we're still having these main characters with these real problems that they're dealing with, real relationships. And I like that. I feel like they're building on the Jake and Devin relationship. I feel like there's some conflict with Junior and Lexi that we're experiencing now too. That's just going to sort of come into the forefront later on in the series. And of course, we're still going to get introduced to those OG characters that we haven't gotten introduced to yet. But I'm sure they're coming. We still have a few more episodes. I think we're officially halfway done with the season. So as far as the first half goes, we've been introduced to all these new characters and stuff. And then we're assuming that we're going to incorporate the older characters into this series as well. So they're going to mash. But I'm really starting to really like the new characters. I'm involved in them. I want to see them make it out. You know, I don't want to see any of them die, which, who knows, we might see some of these main characters die by the end of the season. But for now, I really like where the series is going.
Definitely. So do I. And just, you know, that we're halfway done and we still have four more episodes to go. So hopefully with, you know, since especially since they haven't even dived into yet exactly what's going on and what the plan is of what's going down, that they're able to, you know, tell this whole story and successfully wrap it all up. Or that if they end it on a cliffhanger or something, that means we get more seasons.
Or it could pull a Child's Play 2019, end on a cliffhanger, and us not get jack shit ever again, which I hope and pray that doesn't happen. But I kind of want Don Mancini, now that you say that, I kind of want him to give some kind of definitive ending, because I feel like we didn't get a definitive ending in Curse. We didn't get one in Cult. And I really want this whole thing to wrap up. If it's not going to wrap up this season, then at least know in your back burner that you're getting another season. Because if we don't get another season and we have to go back and tell this story in a movie, you know, 4 years from now, by the time that movie comes out, I'm going to be like, shit, we're telling this long ass story. I mean, eventually it's got to end.
Yeah. Talk about having completion anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. Don Mancini, are you a male? Because it's mostly found in males. But overall, that's how I feel about the episode, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Definitely, and hopefully, you know, we get more good stuff. And I feel that we have, because everything so far, I feel, has been really consistent and great with telling this story, and that we still have a bunch more to come, especially with the legacy characters coming back.
Yeah, exactly. But thanks, guys, for listening to episode 4. My name is Jordan.
And I'm Josh, and you've been listening to Talking Chucky.